Marines and sailors with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force recently finished 1MEF Large-Scale Exercise 2016 at Marine Corps installations across Southern California. The exercise allowed the 1MEF Command Element staff, its higher, adjacent, and subordinate commands to practice large-scale conventional warfare operations against near-peer adversaries. Colonel Amber Lenning, Civil Affairs Director, 1MEF, sat down with local media to discuss how the MEF's Civil Affairs Detachment conducts civil-military operations and how they are executed at the MEF level.
Good morning, I'm Colonel Amber Lenning. I am the G9 for the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and G9 has cognizance over something that we call civil-military operations. You may hear me abbreviate that as CMO, but that's what I mean civil-military operations. And the G9 is responsible for the liaison between the military and the civilian authorities in a region, wherever we go in the world. And basically, there are a lot of people out there on the battlefield. And some of them are wearing uniforms, and some of them are allied and coalition forces. And we refer to those as blue forces. Those are friendly forces, friendly military forces. There are the people we're fighting. And whether it's a nation state or some sort of irregular actors, those are the enemy, the combatants. And then there are other people on the battlefield, and those are the people that we're worried about. So basically, you've got friendly combatants, enemy combatants, and non-combatants. And my staff section is in charge of anticipating and mitigating any of the impacts that the non-combatants and all of the civil infrastructure and all of the civil domain could have on our military operations. Now, civil military operations are the operations that the commander takes to make sure that there isn't any civil interference. Civil affairs forces aren't the only forces that can do civil military operations. Just like a trained combat engineer is the only one who can fire off a Bangalore torpedo, but the engineers are the ones who are trained to do it, and the civil affairs forces are the ones who are really trained to do civil military operations. And so that's kind of as an example in this scenario of the things that we would be dealing with are displaced civilians, people who are fleeing, fighting, or who have, for some reason, life has been untenable in their homes and they've had to leave. Perhaps there's a power outage and it's in the high desert and they don't have air conditioning, whatever, lots of different things. The coordination with the international community is also something that we do, because it's not just locals that are in any place. You will have members of the international community, such as UN organizations or international governmental organizations or non-governmental organizations that are providing aid in areas. And it's our job to interact with them as well. We are also the MEF's link to the State Department and the other U.S. government interagency activity to make sure that it's all synced up, so that what the military is doing is tied in with what the State Department is doing, and we're the liaison point for that as well. So, like I said, anybody who is not a combatant on the battlefield is kind of within our purview. So we have, for the exercise, which is actually kind of exciting, we have role players that are role playing a State Department and a U.S. Agency for International Development person, and they give us an opportunity to interact with them in the way that we would in a real world situation. So it's pretty neat. Now the G9, the staff for the G9 comes from a reserve unit. It's actually a fairly interesting relationship. We're from the 1st Civil Affairs Group, which is headquartered at Camp Pendleton. There is actually billets in the organization of that reserve unit to provide the staff for a G9 for a MEF level staff. And so basically what we're doing is we're sourcing a primary staff section for the MEF from the reserve component. you can imagine some of the challenges that come along with that. I and all of my Marines are here on a two-week, what we call an annual training period. You hear about the one weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. Well, that's all the time that we have to train, because all of my guys have another job and do other things. And so the spin-up on the scenario is really tough, especially when you've got the active duty staff who are all, they're working this all day, every day for the last 6 months. And we turn it, we turn up, we got about half an hour and we're supposed to be plugging in. So that's a challenge for us. We mitigate it by actually training to it, because this is our job. And so on those drill weekends, we take meth products, we go through, we do analysis, we actually, we try and stay as connected as we can. And the other side of that reserve challenge coin are the reserve benefits. Because if you think about it, if you're working with civilians, it really is helpful to have people with civilian careers and civilian lives and people who don't spend all day, every day talking Marines. So, we have law enforcement personnel. We have lawyers. I have a, you know, a farmer from South Dakota. We have, we've deployed with city planners, you know, and so it's, it really brings a much broader set of skills that you often don't find in the active duty Marine Corps. It really helps for me to have somebody who has worked at an NGO to then put on a uniform and come and deploy, and now I can point him at the NGO and they speak the same language. You know, you just don't really have that with career active duty Marines. So, you know, it goes both ways. There are positives and benefits. For the LSE itself, the training for us, you know, when you consider that we're reserves, and you consider, you've heard the general and you've heard Dave Handy speak about the, you know, what we're trying to accomplish with this exercise, it's a very kinetic focused exercise. We're really getting back to our basics of war fighting, and people would say, well, why do you need CMO for that? Why take the time to bring reservists on a duty and all the effort that we still have to find the mitigation strategies? And so coming out here for this training, it's really good for us to really practice our staff skills and learn to integrate with an active duty staff. And it's really good for the active duty folks and for the MEF staff to have us here, because we can bring the human terrain into the exercise. And you can imagine that's a difficult thing to do. Think how complex the scenario development has to be to have a deep enough pool of human terrain that when we dive in, we don't give up really fast. You know, so we support the MEF in developing that scenario, and then we come out and do the best, because the MEF is operating in what they want to call human saturated terrain. And there are lots of people out there, lots of people involved that aren't good guys or bad guys. They're just people trying to live their lives. And it's 21st century information environment, right? So we've got instantaneous communications relaying all sorts of information with absolutely no quality control all over everywhere. You know, benefits and challenges to that too. The benefit to that is that I can get information much more easily about what's going on the ground in the civilian world, because I can hear it, because I can read it on Twitter, because, you know, we have plugins, and so that really improves our SA, or at least improves the sensors that we can use to develop that situational awareness. And so in a way it's a benefit to what we do. But of course it's also a detriment, because you know everybody knows you can't believe anything you read on the internet. You know, and we've almost infinitely multiplied the number of people that we might be interacting with, because there's a guy that you're talking to when he comes to your camp, but that guy could be three other people on the internet, you know, and he could be big in Japan or whatever it is. But so navigating that is new, and it's new for us, as it is new for the G39, as it is new for the PAO, as it is new for all of the other information related capabilities that are trying to get their hands around this information warfare and this conduct in this set information and human saturated 21st century environment. So it's a great experience for us. I really enjoy coming out. This is the third of these exercises that I've been able to do as part of the G9, and I've seen the staff develop, and the staff, it's really good, and we're grateful for the opportunity, and we really do our best to educate, you know, the rest of the MEF staff on what it is that we can do and how we can help. So I can take your questions.
It's the third time you've done this, but is this the largest? Is this the first time you've been able to do this on quite this kind of scale?
It is certainly the largest and most complex of the actual boots on the ground. As you can imagine, in a simulated exercise in the video game, you can make it as large and complex as you want. But as far as actual people out here living in the dust and setting up the tents, I won't.
3,000.
It's over 3,000 people. I won't speak, I'm not sure if it's the largest one the Marine Corps has ever done. General hopefully would tell you, but it is certainly the largest one that I have participated in the sense of actual physical people sitting at desks and doing things.
How does this prepare you for real world scenarios?
Your question, how does this prepare us for real world? Again, when we think back to the last, you know, the long war of the last 10 years, maybe 15 years or so, and we think about the challenges of that, it was a heavy-duty counterinsurgency fight. And we got to be, if not experts, we at least got to be familiar with and reasonably good at conducting counterinsurgency fights. And so this exercise is designed to sort of refocus us from the long, slow slog of counterinsurgency back to a faster, more agile Marine Corps thing. And we haven't done that in the real world in a long time. And so this exercise is a good way to try and anticipate. And if you think about it, I was talking about the 21st century environment. We certainly haven't done that kind of fighting in this kind of environment. And so, preparing us for the real world, having the role players so that we can actually do the coordination with locals, having all of the reporting, having the scenario try and reflect what we think it would occur in the real world. And then this gives us a chance, and the good thing is if we screw it up here, people don't die. And so that's why we do these exercises.